Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 118, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. As thirsts the heart for cooling flood, so longs my soul, O living God, to taste thy grace. When unto thee shall I draw near, O when within thy courts appear, and see thy face. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 118. Scripture reading for this special service can be found in the Song of Solomon, the third chapter. Song of Solomon, chapter 3. By night on my bed, I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, "Saw ye Him whom my soul loveth?" It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loveth. I held Him and would not let Him go until I had brought Him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till He please. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, of the heavens and of this earth, we are gathered together in the midst of this congregation that has been filled with gladness in a special day, wherein their hope and their desire that will be realized when thou wilt give it in this hour, when they may receive once again out of thy good doing hand, one of thy servants, that he may go in and out amongst them, that he may take up the shepherd's staff here in the midst of them. O Lord, wilt thou humble our hearts together in this day, and when thy goodness is yet manifest to us and our children, though that we do not deserve it, because thou knowest the heart and the life of each and every one of us, that before thee there is none that are clean, nor are there any that are able to stand in thy sight. O, that thou may give that place of true humility, wilt thou bow in the dust of self-abasement before thee under the multitude of all thy blessings, blessed above measure in the prosperity in this world, but also in thy house. And when we may receive thy truth, and when we may receive also one of thy servants who may go before to bring that truth, that it may come to the ears, but wilt thou also give that it may come into the heart, because this man remains a man, and he is not able to do anything to raise the dead. O Lord, that is thy work, and we beseech it of thee in this hour, and that thou may remember him, and when he is to be installed, and when he is to answer a most solemn questions. Oh, that thou may be on his right and on his left, not only in this hour, but may it be in the time that is to come. And when thou dost call him to labor amongst this great people, for there are many of them, and the laborers, they are so very many in an outward way. O Lord, we beseech thee for strength, that he may receive a courage, that he may receive much wisdom, but that he may be endued with fresh oil from on high, and that thy Holy Spirit may be given to him in a very rich measure, and that thy word, that it may be brought from this place, and that there may be fruit upon the many labors that must be taken up, and that there may be new ones born in Zion, and that there may be cries that go out of the dust of self-abasement, cries unto thee as a publican of old, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner, that thou may uncover all that needs to be uncovered, and that thou may comfort all those that mourn, and that thou may give instruction in that wisdom of thy salvation, the leadings of thy Spirit in the midst of the congregation, to lead more and more into the blessed mysteries of thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, that he may become more and more necessary in the midst of this flock, that he also may become precious to both young and old, that they may be given to see and feel and know that blessed suitability of the Son of Man unto a wretched and a miserable creature. Oh, that thou wouldst glorify thy own name, and that thou wouldst magnify thy grace, that thou may give many to be entering into the kingdom of God, that thou may look upon all the youth and the children, oh, humble them also in this day, and when they may behold the face of their teacher, oh, that they may in the days of their youth also remember him in their secret and inner chamber, and that they could not let thee go except that thou would bless them also, and that they may be ready to hear, and that they may be ready to listen, and that they also may receive an undeserved blessing. Do look upon all those that have become old, those that are in the Bethesda care home. Lord, thou knowest also what is necessary for each and every one of them, May the labors also of this our brother be sanctified and blessed in the time of old age, and when there can be so very much discouragement, and that it seems so impossible, and when a man knows what has to take place, and yet he stands without it even in the last years of his life, oh, that thou may give also a blessing to be had to each and every one of them. Care for the widows, widowers, orphans. And wilt thou remember all that are sick and that suffer from serious diseases? Wilt thou bless also the visitations in the homes of the families? And wilt thou supply to the consistory what is necessary, and that they may labor shoulder to shoulder for the welfare of this flock, and that thou may give thy blessing also in the midst of this our classes, where our brother may come to help with the labors here. O Lord, that we also may be given together as a brethren in the midst of the classes to labor shoulder to shoulder for the welfare of Zion, and that we may be given to pray together for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, wilt thou look upon his relatives also, his mother who is very old, as she cannot be with us, but may thou remember her in the time of old age and in the condition of mind and body, the other relatives that may be here. Remember also the widow of thy servant who has labored here in this place, that thou may remember her in this day, and that thou may be with her with a visit from above. And wilt thou look upon each and every one that stands in need of thee. And wilt thou give to us in this afternoon and in this evening a good day together. Oh, that thou wouldst be in our midst, that thou may strengthen us, and that we may do this labor, and that we may bring this little portion of thy holy word, and that thou may grant an undeserved blessing. Give that all things may be done decently in an order, and that there may be yet a little a token left behind, and that we are not only gathered together with one another, but that thou also dost show thyself to be in the midst of us, or that we may, in a feeling and in a believing way, experience something of thy presence, of thy nearness, and of thy goodness as a token of what may be to come. Lord, help us then in preaching and in hearing. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 349, stanzas 1 through 4. My heart was glad to hear the welcome sound, the call to seek Jehovah's house of prayer. Our feet are standing here on holy ground, within thy gates, thou city, grand and fair. There will be one collection bag today for the church. And we have one announcement. There will be coffee and refreshments available in the basement after the service for all out-of-town guests. A light lunch will follow at 4:30 p.m. Psalter 349, all the stanzas. congregation the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, the Song of Solomon, the third chapter, and thereof the third verse. Song of Solomon 3, verse 3. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? So far the words of our text. The bride's encounter with the city's watchmen. First, she is found by the city's watchmen. Second, she inquires of the city's watchmen. The bride's encounter with the city's watchmen. First, she is found by the city's watchmen. The watchmen that go about the city found me. Second, she inquires of the city's watchmen, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? The watchmen that go about the city. What is the city? Solomon, he speaks here about the church of God. David also calls that church a city. He calls it the city of Zion. And we can read that the Apostle Paul, he also calls that church a city. He says it is the city of the living God. We read here also about the watchmen. The watchmen that go about the city. Thus, who are the watchmen? They are not the same as the bride. Because we read here that Solomon is making a distinction between the watchmen and the bride. So those are two separate things. The watchmen, they are the ministers of the church of God. They are within that city. Those watchmen, they have been appointed. They are appointed by the governor of that city, and they have a task. That task is that there may be a good order in the city in the first place. Good order, that is something that is necessary in a city. Good order is also something that is necessary within the church. Thus the watchmen, they are responsible for watching and that everything is well regulated. The Apostle Paul, he says, let everything be done decently and let everything be done in order. Satan, he desires to overturn that order. And that is so that he may give a disruption in the house of God, in the city of God. Thus there is, young people, a church order. And it is so important that the watchmen, that they are keeping order in that sense within the church, within the meetings of the church. But there is something that is even more important, because Satan, he attempts to turn everything upside down within that church. And that can be so appealing to us. That can be so appealing to our flesh and to the natural mind. We will give you only one example. And then Satan wants to have those watchmen speak about the physician when they have never spoken about the sickness. Thus he wants everything to be put upside down and made backwards. that is causing young people very much confusion within the churches, also in our days. But now it is the task of the watchmen, and that they are watching over that there is a right order, because when the Lord is working in the life of a person, then the Lord, He is working always in an orderly way. And that is now the task of the watchmen, and that they are watching over also this order. That is according to the governor of the city, because the governor of the city, he has said that the whole, they need not a physician, but they that are sick. The watchman is responsible for this order. The watchman is responsible for more. The watchman is responsible to look out for dangers. He is responsible to look for the things that are going to threaten the welfare of this city. There are threats from without. There are also threats from within that city. There are many of them. And they are continually coming because there are very many enemies of the church. The Apostle Peter, he speaks about false doctrines. He speaks about damnable heresies, about these that are brought in unto the church unawares. Because Satan, he is not only a roaring lion, but Satan is also coming as an angel of light. And therefore, how necessary that there is a watchman, and that that watchman is looking for all of those subtle and those deceitful dangers that are creeping within the doctrine of the church. And it is not only false doctrines, but there are also evil practices that do corrupt the church. There are worldly influences that are corrupting the families, that are corrupting the church. And then it is the task of the watchman that he is warning. How will we receive these warnings, congregation, of your watchman? The governor of the city, he has appointed this watchman. And when that watchman is warning you from the Lord, then will you have but deaf ears to this watchman? Or will you receive those warnings from the Lord himself? The watchmen, we read, that go about the city, that speaks about the faithfulness of this watchman. He goes about the city. He wants to see how that city is faring, how that city is doing. The watchman, boys and girls, what do you think he will check? When he will go about the city, you say he will check the gates. Make sure that those gates are shut and that they are locked. That no enemy can get in that city. That is right. He is going to check the walls and make sure they are not being undermined. And make sure that there is no breach in those walls. He is going to look within that city. And he is going to make sure that there are no spies. They are creeping about that city. A traitor that will give that city over unto the enemy. He goes about the city. He is looking. He is searching. He makes sure that the inhabitants are prepared. Because he says there's going to come a day when that enemy, he is going to try to take us by surprise. Are we then prepared for this great and this notable day? for the onslaughts of that enemy, what a great task of a watchman. What a responsible task of a watchman. Because the welfare of that entire city that is at stake, that is hanging, as it were, humanly speaking, upon what that watchman is doing and the faithfulness of that watchman. If he fails to blow that trumpet, then that whole city that can perish. What a foolishness. If the inhabitants of that city, they do not want to listen to the watchman, when he is giving the inhabitants of that city warning from the Lord. When the inhabitants of that city, they will be like the sons-in-law of Lot. And when it will be as to them a laughing matter. And when they will not listen. When they will be to him as the first world was unto Noah. And then that man, he has that city at his heart. The welfare of that city. And that grieves him at his heart. O congregation, will we be a grief to our watchmen? That will be to our own destruction. The watchmen that go about the city found me. Who says that? That is the bride. She is one of the individual inhabitants of that city. She is one of the older ones. She is one of the more experienced ones. And she is found, it says, by the watchman as she is wandering about this city. Did the watchman ever find you? As you were wandering about the city. Say, well, what does that mean? Well, it speaks about the minister. It speaks about the preacher who is finding a man in his preaching. It speaks about God's true servants. And when they are bringing that word of God, that a man is pointed out. That a man's life that is explained by that watchman. He is found by that watchman. Then the watchman doesn't say here, I have found her. But it says that he found me. So she recognizes her own case when that minister is preaching. And he is preaching out of the word of God. Then she recognizes something. Then she recognizes her own life. Her case is explained. She hears her own name. The watchmen that go about the city found me. That is so important that we are found by that preaching. That preaching that is not just general, no. No, we do not mean that a minister, he may begin to think, well, I need to correct that man and I need to correct that woman from the pulpit. No. No. Then we speak to that person in private. Do not mean that at all. But now the condition of that true church of God, one that is laid out of this word of God, that is now so, so important. Why? Because congregation, the word of God that has an address. The word of God that does not say the same thing to each and every one that is within the church of God. What does the word of God say? It says, say unto the righteous, it will be well with them. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with them. Thus, in order to hear that warning, then we also need to hear our name. Then it is that preaching that needs to find me. And if it never finds us, then that word that is always speaking, well, that is speaking unto my neighbor. It is speaking to someone else. Thus, if that word does not find me, how can I receive the warnings that are in that word? If that word of God that does not find me, how can I receive the consolations, the comforts that the Lord is giving from that word? Did that watchman ever find you? Did he ever find you in the preaching? Perhaps one time that you heard it, when that word of God was brought, and when that word of God that said, thou art the man, and then you had to say, the watchmen that go about the city, he found me, because that word that spoke about me, that spoke about my guilt, it pointed the finger at me. It said I was the one. It brought me to a true. It brought me to an upright confession. Oh, how necessary and how profitable it is that that word of God is finding us. The word of God that says, blessed are they that mourn. Congregation, did that word of God ever find you? Because if we are not pointed out by that word, if we are not that one who is mourning, then we also do not receive the blessing. Oh, how necessary that the watchmen that go about the city find me. Can you say that? Can you say that that watchman has pointed you out? Can you say, do you remember a day when that word of God came unto you? Do you remember a day that it spoke unto your soul? That you heard your name? Do you remember a day when that watchman, he spoke about those who are lost? And that you had to say, that is I. Do you remember that day that watchman, he spoke about a rebel? And that you had to say, the watchman in that day, the watchman that go about the city, found me? Sinner, laid out in the word of God. The watchmen that go about the city found me. Can you say that you were ever found by that word and that you were found in the place of that prodigal son? And when that watchman, when he has spoken about the condition of that man, and he has laid out his wretchedness, when he has laid out his guilt, that he had wasted his substance with riotous living, when he laid out his misery, that you had to say, that is now my life. That it became you. That is a wonder. Why? Because then the Lord gives a man to hear what is connected to it. When he says, that is my life. When he recognizes his own case. And when he is found by that watchman, and the watchman then begins to speak, about what was living in the heart of that young man and the thoughts that were going back. The thoughts that were going back unto his father, unto his father's house. Oh, then he is not worthy of that. But then he hears that young man. Oh, then he is desiring just the smallest place there. He is desiring just the lowest place there in his father's house. Oh, then such a man who is found in that pit, in that swine's pit, by the servant of the Lord. And then when he hears what is living in the heart of that young man. Oh, then he hears him. He says, I will arise and I will go unto my father. And I will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And then it can be that for the first time in a man's life, that he sees what grace is. What grace is. Free and sovereign grace. That man, he says, I will arise and go unto my father. Then it is not a people who maybe can say that they have seen so much of that Son of God. Oh, they do not dare even to say perhaps that he was revealed unto my soul. But, oh, in that moment, there in that pit, there where I was found out, oh, there the Lord gave me to see far, far away that there is still a possibility even for such a person as I am, the watchman that go about the city found me. Oh, it is such a privilege. Congregation, when we may be under a searching ministry, do not despise that, young people, but ask for that. Ask for help, the help of the Lord for your watchman. There is an implication in that word finding. He found me. What does it imply? It implies that that watchman, he was seeking. He was searching for such. That was his labor. That is his supplication when he is on his knees in his study. Or when he is attempting to prepare. Oh, where shall I now find those people? What shall I now say out of that word of God? Where they shall be able to say that is now me. Oh, that is now so profitable for that people. What is the profit? We see that in our second thought. She inquires of the city's watchmen. The watchmen that go about the city found me. To whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? The watchman, he understands who that bride is speaking about. She did not say his name. She said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? She did not need to say who that was and why not. Well, because that watchman, and not only that watchman, but everyone in that city of God, among that true people of the Lord, oh, they know already. They know who that she is speaking about. She does not need to say his name. The watchman, he knows
the inhabitants of that city. And the watchman knows that when the inhabitants of that city, that bride, that she begins to speak about him whom her soul loveth, oh, then he understands immediately who that is. Who does that watchman find here? He finds here a missing bride. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Oh, she misses. She misses the bridegroom. She cannot find him. Is that so with you too? Are there those here that miss that bridegroom? We have to remember who the bride is. She is one of the more experienced of the church of God. Because in the Song of Solomon, it speaks about the daughters of Jerusalem. And it speaks about the bride. Thus it speaks about that young church and the church that is more experienced. That speaks about the concerned church and the established church. And now these are words. They are not coming from that concerned church. No, they are words. They are coming from that established church. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Oh Christ, he is so often congregation, a hidden person to that true people of the Lord. There are those young people in our days, they get so, so angry when you will say this. But it is written here in the Word of God. Is this not the very message of the preacher? Is this not the very message of the governor of that city who has inspired this preacher? Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? That is the reality in the life of God's people. And she is searching for him. But she cannot find him. Do you understand this? Do you hear your own name? Are you found out by the watchman? By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. She is on her bed. What does that mean? What do you do on your bed, children? Well, you say on your bed you go to sleep. That is right. She is not sleeping, but she is still laying on her bed. What does that show us? And she says, by night on my bed I sought him. Well, she is doing something when she is on her bed. Oh, there is a church. There is a church that realizes that there is something wrong in their life. They realize and they feel the guilt of what the Lord, he says, thou hast left thy first love. They understand it. They feel it. They miss him. They miss him. But they're still on their bed. And they cannot get themselves to leave off with that slothful life. Oh, indeed, they still fold their hands. They still close their eyes. They still bend their knees. They still read that word of God. But in all they're missing, it is yet a lazy seeking. A lazy seeking. And what is the consequence of this kind of seeking? What does it say? I sought him. I found him not. Or that can be for a long time. That bride, she is living in such a way. A little bit of the world. The idols of the world, they are drawing her. She does not want really to leave them all go. And indeed, she thinks back to that former life. Oh, she says, that was a blessed life. But now to leave it all go. And yet the missing remains. And therefore she resolves to rise up. She resolves to seek him more earnestly. She says, I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. What happens? Oh, she realizes in this way it cannot go. In this way she shall never find him. And so the prayers, they become more earnest. The supplications, the readings in God's word, they become more fervent. And she begins, as she begins to rise up out of this bed of sloth, oh, that seeking, that becomes more intense. She goes out into the broad ways. Oh, then she goes out into the public services. She goes out even now into the house of God. Oh, then it is becoming more earnest with her because indeed of that love of that bridegroom that is burning now in her heart. But the more that she is seeking, the more concerned that she is becoming. Why? Well, when she was laying on the bed, well, then she thought, if I really want to find him, then I will rise up. And as soon as I am more earnest, well, then I will find him. And now she gets up. And now she is in more earnest. But, what do we read? I sought him. And now for the second time. But, I found him not. And what does she now have to experience? She cannot command his presence. No, just because she is now going to seek him more earnestly than she did before. Just because now she has put away her idols. And now she thinks that the Lord, he is as it were obliged to come, and he will come, and he will come soon. No. I went about the city, I went into the house of the Lord, I sought him earnestly, or I cried to him, but I found him not. He is so free to appear, not to appear. And that church is so guilty. The watchmen that go about the city found me. This is now whom the watchmen found. This woman, this people, what kind of people? A missing people in the first place. A missing people. In the second place, a guilty people. It's her own fault. Because of her own sloth, she has left him days without number. In the third place, a people cannot change the way it is. She cannot change her own condition that she has brought herself into. That is now who the watchman found when he went about the city. And then we hear this question to the watchman. Saw ye him? Whom my soul loveth? What happened? Oh, she was in the house of God. She was going about the city. She was listening. And when there was a church service, she was there. And then she heard her name. Ah, she says, that watchman, he has spoken about me. He knows even of cases such as my own case that are such an encouragement. Such an encouragement to that bride when she is searching for him whom her soul loveth. That watchman, that he also knows of such persons as she is. But there is more. There is something so much higher. Why? Because that watchman is preaching out of the Word of God. And what he is speaking, that is coming directly out of that Word. And then she feels something. It is not only that watchman who knows of such persons, but then she feels something. Oh, the Lord Himself, He knows where I am. The Lord Himself, He knows who I am. The Lord Himself, He knows my condition. Oh, it is the greater watchman, as it were, who has found her. And this draws her. Oh, that draws her heart. Oh, if the Lord knows where I am. Oh, maybe then there is a way that I can see him again. Oh, then that question that is going out unto that watchman. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Do you know where that he is? Oh, can you lead him to me? Because I desire to see him again. I desire to hear his voice. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? What a question. What a question. Congregation, do you know what that gives? Do you know what that gives to the watchman? When the watchman may hear that question that is coming from that bride, that gives him matter. That gives him matter in his heart to preach about. It gives him something to preach about. It gives him affection. It gives him love in his heart for the true people of the Lord. It gives him pity. It gives him compassion. It draws him here to this pulpit with a desire that he may speak and that he may show something, or that he may tell. Where that beloved, her soul loving, where did he is found? Oh, then he is searching in that Word of God. And he says, here he is found by this miserable leper. Here he is found by this lame man. Here he is found by this blind man, by this man who cannot walk. Oh, here he is found, even by the dead. Oh, congregation, that question, does that question now lie in your heart? Will there now be matter? Will there now be substance that will draw the heart of your watchman, that he may speak to you? That he may speak to you about him whom the soul of that true church of God loves, and that he may declare where that you may find him, O congregation, that may be true of you. Why? Because then there will be opening here. There will be opening here from this pulpit in this house of God. And that will make for a most blessed city. It will make for a blessed city of God, where that watchman may not be immediate, but that watchman, he will appear again. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him, whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 226, all the stanzas. O Lord of hosts, to thee I cry, our fathers, God, to thee. Let my petition reach thy ear, my prayer accepted be. O God, our shield, look thou on us. Reveal thyself in grace. And let thy own anointed one behold thee face to face. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 226.
We will now read the form of ordination of the ministers of God's Word, which can be found on page 67 or 141 in the back of your Psalter. Beloved brethren, it is known unto you that we have at three different times published the name of our brother, Reverend Everett Cornelius Adams, here present, to learn whether any person had ought to offer concerning his doctrine or life, why he might not be ordained to the ministry of the word. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against his person, we shall therefore at present, in the name of the Lord, proceed to his ordination. For which purpose you, Reverend Adams, and all those who are here present, shall first attend to a short declaration taken from the Word of God touching the institution and the office of pastors and ministers of God's Word, where in the first place you are to observe that God, our Heavenly Father, willing to call and gather a church from amongst the corrupt race of men unto life eternal, doth by a particular mark of his favor use the ministry of men therein. Therefore Paul saith that the Lord Jesus Christ hath given some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists and some pastors and ministers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Here we see that the holy apostle, among other things, saith that the pastoral office is an institution of Christ. What this holy office enjoins may easily be gathered from the very name itself. For as it is the duty of a common shepherd to feed, guide, protect, and rule the flock committed to his charge, so it is with regard to these spiritual shepherds who are set over the church, which God calleth unto salvation and counts as sheep of his pasture. The pasture with which these sheep are fed is nothing else but the preaching of the gospel, accompanied with prayer and the administration of the holy sacraments. The same word of God is likewise the staff with which the flock is guided and ruled. Consequently, it is evident that the office of pastors and ministers of God's word is, first, that they faithfully explain to their flock the word of the Lord, revealed by the writings of the prophets and the apostles, and apply the same as well in general as in particular to the edification of the hearers, instructing, admonishing, comforting, and reproving according to everyone's need, preaching repentance towards God and reconciliation with Him through faith in Christ, and refuting with the Holy Scriptures all schisms and heresies which are repugnant to the pure doctrine. All this is clearly signified to us in Holy Writ, for the Apostle Paul saith that these labor in the word, and elsewhere he teacheth that this must be done according to the measure or rule of faith. He writes also that a pastor must hold fast and rightly divide the faithful and sincere word which is according to the doctrine. Likewise, he that prophesieth, that is, preacheth God's word, speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. In another place, he proposes himself as a pattern to pastors, declaring that he hath publicly and from house to house taught and testified repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But particularly, We have a clear description of the office and ministers of God's Word in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 through 20, where the Apostle thus speaketh, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us, namely to the apostles and pastors, the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Concerning the refutation of false doctrine, the same apostle saith that a minister must hold fast the faithful word of God, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers." Titus 1 verse 9. Secondly, it is the office of the ministers publicly to call upon the name of the Lord in behalf of the whole congregation. For that which the apostles say, "We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word," is common to these pastors with the apostles, to which St. Paul alluding thus speaketh to Timothy, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority," etc. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Thirdly, their office is to administer the sacraments which the Lord hath instituted as seals of his grace. As is evident from the command given by Christ to the apostles and in them to all pastors, "Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Likewise, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed," etc. Finally, it is the duty of the ministers of the word to keep the church of God in good discipline and to govern it in such a manner as the Lord hath ordained, for Christ hath spoken of the Christian discipline, says to his apostles, "Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." And Paul will have the ministers to know how to rule their own house, since they otherwise neither can provide for nor rule the church of God. This is the reason why the pastors are in Scripture called stewards of God, and bishops, that is, overseers and watchmen, for they have the oversight of the house of God wherein they are conversant, to the end that everything may be transacted with good order and decency, and also to open and shut with the keys of the kingdom of heaven committed to them, according to the charge given them by God. From these things may be learned what a glorious work the ministerial office is, since so great things are affected by it. Yea, how highly necessary it is for man's salvation, which is also the reason why the Lord will have such an office always to remain. For Christ said when he sent forth his apostles to officiate in his holy function, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world," where we see his pleasure is that this holy office, for the persons to whom he here speaketh could not live to the end of the world, should always be maintained on earth. Therefore, Paul exhorteth Timothy to commit that which he hath heard of him, which he had heard of him, to faithful men who are able to teach others, and he also, having ordained Titus as minister, further commanded him to ordain elders in every city Titus 1, verse 5. I now ask him who will be installed to please arise. For as much, therefore, as we, for the maintaining of this office in the Church of God, are now to install a minister of the Word, and having sufficiently spoken of the office of such persons, therefore you, Reverend Everett Cornelius Adams, shall answer to the following questions which shall be proposed to you, to the end that it may appear to all here present that you are inclined to accept of this office as above described. First, I ask thee whether thou feelest in thy heart that thou art lawfully called of God's church and therefore of God himself to this holy ministry. Secondly, whether thou dost believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and dost reject all doctrine repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether thou dost promise faithfully to discharge thy office according to the same doctrine as above described, and to adorn it with a godly life, also to submit thyself in case thou shouldest become delinquent either in life or doctrine to ecclesiastical admonition according to the public ordinance of the churches. What is your answer?
Yes, truly with all my heart.
God, our heavenly Father, who hath called thee to his holy ministry, enlighten thee with his Holy Spirit, strengthen thee with his hand, and so govern thee in thy ministry that thou mayest decently and fruitfully walk therein to the glory of his name and the propagation of the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Adams, you have been in the ministry now for some time. We read that the Lord brought the prophet Ezekiel to a valley. And in that valley, then he saw that it was full of dry bones. They were indeed very dry. They were dead bones. Indeed, how often do we not feel this as ministers of the Word of God, in the preaching of the Word of God, especially when it seems like that Word that has from Sabbath to Sabbath so little fruit. Solomon, he says, I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. Thus they had come and gone, and come and gone their whole life, and they died a wicked man. And that is for a minister an extremely discouraging thing. What an encouraging thing it is when we may hear from our members, both young and old, when we may hear from them questions. Then we are encouraged. No, not all questions encourage us. Because sometimes there are questions they ask, well, what is wrong with this? And what is wrong with that? And they are questions which make our hearts drop. Because then we realize that a man, he is seeking just to be able to live in and with the world as he is a member even of the Church of God. Very discouraging. Sometimes there are also other questions which can be just as discouraging, and that from persons who are asking, well, why is it that you are not pressing, that you are not pressing and pressing men that they must believe and that they must receive that Son of God? And then our hearts, they drop again, because then we realize that a man does not understand what grace is, and that a man does not experience in his life what true faith is. Otherwise, he does not speak in such a way. It is not all questions, but there are some questions. There are some times that we may go on house visitation, and we may hear a young person, we may hear an older person, and then they are asking questions which make our hearts glad. And that question that we may hear from that bride, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? That is a question that we hope that you may hear very often from your congregation, and that you may receive thereby that matter in your heart to preach. But that question, at the same time, that is matter for us as the servants of the Lord for self-examination. Because when they will say to us, have you seen him? Then it is not only, have you ever seen him? But when did you last see him? And thus such a question that is coming in earnest from our people, that can make us very embarrassed. Because how would we answer that question? To say, when was now the last time that I have seen him, and I am the minister, and I have to preach about him? We hope that the Lord may give to you a close life to him, and also your congregation, that you may have such encounters as we have heard of from the Song of Solomon. Encounters with those who have questions and those who have needs within their heart. And that it also may become evident on this pulpit by this people, that they may say, our minister, he has just come out of that presence of him whom my soul loveth. Because that is felt when our people, then they can feel, can hear that we have just seen him. This is what we wish for you and for your congregation together. Dear congregation, the Lord himself, he appoints a watchman for you. The Lord appoints this man as a watchman for you in your congregation. What do you think of that? Will you let that opportunity pass? What do you think of that, young people? You say, maybe now it doesn't have to be reading anymore. Now we may have the live preaching of the word. That is right. That is right. But is that all? Is that all that is now living in your heart, that it would be a different form? That it would be maybe easier for you to listen, because the substance will not change? Or will you now pass by this opportunity when the Lord, he is giving unto you a watchman? Will you hear your watchman when he rebukes you from the pulpit, maybe? Is that necessary? We all need it.
Will you listen? Because if he does it publicly and you listen, he does not need to do it privately. And that is hard. It is much harder. Will you spare your minister those difficult things? How will you come to the house of prayer? Will you bend your knees before you come to the house of prayer? Will you bend your knees for your minister, for this watchman, that the Lord may help him? But not only that the Lord may help him, but that the Lord may give him to point you out. That the Lord may give that watchman to find you. Oh, go on your knees. Oh, take that word of God and say, Lord, it says, the watchmen that go about the city found me. Oh, Lord, could it be in this morning? Could it be in this evening that the watchman may find me? That it may be my turn, and that not only your watchman may speak, but that that word of God may speak. May there then be many missing people. Many missing people here in Picture Butte that come up with a need in their heart. Because then we can expect the blessing of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, the nearness of the Lord, and the favor of the Lord. That is what we wish for you. Let us now sing, standing, 367, the fourth stanza. Thou, Lord, hast chosen Zion. Thou hast ever loved her well. This my resting place forever, here thou saidst I choose to dwell. 367, the fourth stanza, standing. Take heed, therefore, beloved brother and fellow servant in Christ, unto thyself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made thee overseer,
to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Love Christ and feed his sheep, taking the oversight of them not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind, neither as being lord over God's heritage, but as an example to the flock. Be an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Meditate upon those things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thy doctrine and continue steadfast therein. Bear patiently all sufferings and oppressions as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, thou shalt receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And you, likewise, beloved Christians, receive this your minister in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Remember that God himself through him speaketh unto and beseecheth you. Receive the word which he according to the scripture shall preach unto you, not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God. Let the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things be beautiful and pleasant unto you. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. If you do these things, it shall come to pass that the peace of God shall enter into your houses, and that you who receive this man in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and through his preaching, believing in Christ, shall through Christ inherit life eternal. Since no man is of himself fit for any of these things, let us call upon God with thanksgiving and at the same time close this service. Merciful Father, we thank thee that it pleaseth thee by the ministry of men to gather a church to thyself unto life eternal from amongst the lost children of men. We bless thee for so graciously providing the church in this place with a faithful minister. We beseech thee to qualify him daily more and more by the Holy Spirit for the ministry to which thou hast ordained and called him. Enlighten his understanding to comprehend thy holy word, and give him utterance that he may boldly open his mouth to make known and dispense the mysteries of the gospel. Endue him with wisdom and valor to rule the people aright over which he is set, and to preserve them in Christian peace, to the end that thy church under his administration and by his good example may increase in number and virtue. Grant him courage to bear the difficulties and troubles which he may meet with in his ministry, that being strengthened by the comfort of thy spirit, he may remain steadfast to the end and be received with all faithful servants into the joy of his master. Give thy grace also to this people and church,
that they may becomingly deport themselves towards this their minister, that they may acknowledge him to be sent of thee, that they may receive his doctrine with all reverence and submit themselves to his exhortations, to the end that they may, by his word, believing in Christ, be made partakers of eternal life. Remember also that congregation which he has left behind, that thou may provide also for them in thy time, the one that may go in and out amongst them to bring thy holy word. Hear us, O Father, through thy beloved Son who hath taught us to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 372, stanzas 1 and 2. Come, all ye servants of the Lord, lift up your voice with one accord, Jehovah's name to bless. And what follows in 1 and 2 of Psalter 372.
Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.